Hi, everybody. My name is Luis, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Luis.
Take a deep breath. Knowledge of power greater than myself for another day in recovery. Really grateful to be here. I always enjoyed this room. It's been a great service, this community here that I have. So I'm grateful for being here. All right, so what are we doing tonight? Phil said what? 4, 5, or 6? We talked about a little bit about this last week, and the idea that the steps are so interconnected that they're truly in that's my experience. And so so with that being the theme, right, not that I'm going to recap last week, but to talk about step four, we still need to kind of touch base a little bit, for me anyway, about the actor. I'm going to talk a little bit about the actor before we get into step four. So what do we have? We have step four, a moral inventory. I have step five, in a confession of sorts, right? And then step six, a willingness. So step four. So many things that for me that did not become revealed until I was actually in my fourth. I've done several fourth steps. My experience is that I've done several, and maybe we'll talk a little bit about that as well. But my experience is that a lot of the things that are stated in the actor's story I did not really experience them until I saw it in my own behavior in step four. What I mean by that is if you're looking at the actor, it talks about there's a declaration made, a couple of declarations made just before the third step prayer. And one of them is the book, the program point just points out that selfishness, self-centeredness, that is the root of my problem. You see, and all along I thought my problem was alcohol. And I know many of us know now that alcohol was our solution to our problems, right? And that phrase sort of comes about because based on this premise that selfishness and self-centeredness is the root of my problem, and the program tells me that I must be rid of this selfishness or it kills me. You see? And just in case I had any inkling that I can do the job, it tells me and that I have to have God's help. Bless you on the truth. And then there's another comment, another statement. It's that my problems are of my own making. My problems, they arise from within. And I have this vision anytime I read that, I have this vision that, it's my thoughts, it's my internal mechanisms that creates the environment that causes my problems. And that's where step four comes into, right? Because we need a tool. Step four is a tool, has been a tool for me to look within myself to remove those things that have been blocking me. Because then third step again says we have to get down to the cause. The drinking was only a symptom. So we had to find the things that were blocking us, at least for me, blocking me from what? From the great reality deep within me. See, so step four for me is a great spiritual tool that our program has handed us to do what? Not for anger management. Anybody who knows me gets that joke. certainly not that, Certainly not something to overcome my fears. Although the book actually does say that. Maybe I should use something else. Or how we control our sexual impulses. No. The step four tool for me is a means that the program has given me to identify the things within myself that were blocking me from my true nature, from that relationship with the Supreme Being that's so important and vital to my recovery. Because it talks about that, that we have to be, if you're convinced to your innermost being. And we talked about this last week, about this idea that I'm utterly powerless, that lack of power is my dilemma. And if I'm convinced in my innermost being that that's true, and the only thing that's keeping me sober in this moment, in this breath, is my relationship with a power greater than myself, then I need to do everything possible to foster that relationship. And I can't. And anything that interferes with that relationship is deadly to my recovery. So we have this tool, and then the program tells us that it gives us the analogy of the business that will go broke that doesn't take regular inventory. Hence, my network, as a rule, we do multiple four steps. That's just my experience. Typically do one once a year, per se, and I find that I need to do regular inventory. I know there's some people, and this is not a debate or anything, you know, some people are comfortable, they do a single fourth step, they practice steps 10, 11, and 12, and they stay in that, and they don't feel a fourth step is necessary, and that's fine if that's your experience. I find that my experience is that I can't practice step 10 perfectly, and so as a result, a lot of stuff gets, a lot of loose ends there, and then I find a regular inventory healthy to my recovery. So, you know, so that's just my experience. I perform regular inventory. This idea that, and I don't want to get into the mechanics of step four, you know, columns and that sort of thing. And not really, I want to talk about the spirit of step four, which is this tool that we're talking about that removes the blocks. There's a great promise when the program breaks it down into three sections, right? We have resentments, we have fears, and sex conduct. And right after they introduce resentment as the number one offender, there's this great promise in there. It says, not only have we been mentally and physically ill, but we've been spiritually sick as well. See? And it says, when the spiritual malady is overcome, we'll straighten out mentally and physically. See, and that's why this tool is so important, because it's through this tool that I begin to remove the blocks that have prevented me from having what? That relationship with the Supreme Being, which is keeping me sober. And suddenly, through this tool and the other tools that are to come in our program, suddenly, one day I wake up, and what do I find? I find that I haven't thought of a drink or a drug. That it hasn't even come to mind. You see, and suddenly I find myself, instead of gym, where suddenly it seemed like a good idea to have a drink with a glass of milk, suddenly I'm in the opposite space where it doesn't even occur to me to drink. And I experience that complete freedom, that enslavement that had been my experience my whole life of either drinking, thinking about how to get the next drink, or thinking how not to have the next drink. This constant 24-hour cycle of enslavement, suddenly I find myself completely free of that, because through these tools, somehow in the application of the tools, I've now entered some new relationship with a power greater than myself that's removed the problem. So I don't think about the drink, and guess what? I don't ingest the drink. I don't go off to the races anymore. No more, honey, I'll be back. I'm just going down to get a glass, a quart of milk type of thing. 3 days later. Follow? Because I was only going to have a quick one and run back in the house before anybody knew, right? So, getting back to the tool. You know, it's not anger management, but the tool helps me dig within myself and find out, you know, as that promise, because to me it's a promise, right? My problems are of my own making. So now the tool does what for us? It allows us to look inside of us. Why am I pissed off at Phil all the time? It's Phil. No. It's a great question. I mean, it's a great question rhetorically, right? Because what happens is my whole experience before I came into the rooms was this. I'm peed off, and that means there's broken furniture, there are holes in walls, there's bruised hands and broken noses, mostly mine, mind you, right? And all kinds of destruction because I'm angry. I'm peed off, right? And suddenly, like a 2x4, the fourth step says, what is that effect? You know, what do you mean, what is that effect? I'm peed off, didn't you hear me? You know, no, that's not the end of the discussion. What does that affect? How does that affect you? And for the first time in my life, I'm challenged to ask myself, geez, what does that affect? I mean, the guy only stepped on my toe because we were in a crowded, you know, elevator. You know what I'm saying? What is that effect? And I start to realize, you know, and I start asking the questions that our programs And I started to get in touch with the things that are impacted, how I perceived, right, my perception of your behavior, how does that impact me? And now it's no longer about you. See, that's why I'm free. When I realize that my problems are of my own making, it's no longer Phil's fault. I no longer have to control Phil. See, I need to look within myself. So that's, of course, followed by more questions. Where was I at fault? I have that exactly right, but I'm sure it'll be pointed out to me later. Right? Where was I selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, and fearful? Start to look in my own behavior, see? And I see the great challenge is the real challenge is like there's that Hindu verse, right? And there's many versions of it. Basically, he who conquers himself conquers the world. Now I need to become sort of master of my own domain, be in touch with what's happening inside of me, and starting to recognize almost immediately now when something is occurring and I feel that uncomfortability, and right away my natural reaction is to reach out to you to control you because you're making me uncomfortable. And now, no, I've been handed a spiritual tool that says, no, brother, look inside yourself. What's going on within you that's making you uncomfortable? And then I usually wind up finding out that, yeah, I'm standing in fear again, sitting in fear. Or I'm just thinking about myself, hello. Or I'm just trying to get my own way, self-seeking. Or I'm totally dishonest. And I don't mean, well, yeah, I do mean dishonest where I just outright lie because my lips are moving after all. But I also mean the dishonesty in terms of you're supposed to read my mind and know how I feel about certain things. And I never advocate for myself or speak up and let you know what's going on with me so that in being honest with you, give you the opportunity to have some understanding of what I may be going through so maybe you'll adjust your sales. Right? But instead in my head, you should know what I'm going through, right? And so I never tell you, and now I peed off at you, but I'm being dishonest. See? And when I start searching into that, what do we do? Now we've mastered our anger? No, because our tool, it's all grounded in powerlessness. I've been handed this tool, but what do I have to do? Now I have to pray. You know, I have to ask God. Patient, tolerant, and compassion. I know the book says pity, but I like compassion instead of pity. How can I be helpful to this person? See? So a whole new dynamic's introduced into my life because of this tool. Suddenly, I start getting in touch with certain characteristics that I have, which many of us use the seven deadly sins as a way of identifying them, but there are other ways. How do I get in touch with these characteristics that are harmful, not only to myself, but the people around me? Now suddenly these things start coming out. And now I'm actually aware of these things. Whereas before, getting back to the premise, I was just this angry person bashing holes in the wall. You come to my house now, there's not a single broken piece of furniture. It's amazing. Giants still lose as many games as they did before, but the furniture is safe. So step four is just part of this spiritual toolkit, and we have the same mechanisms basically applied for the fears and the sex conduct. You know, the three great paragraphs in the book are those three paragraphs on fears. You know, and just to kind of to sum them up, I mean, the challenge with the fears is: am I now trusting and relying upon a supreme being, or am I still trusting and relying upon myself? Ultimately, I find if I'm going to trust and rely upon myself, self-reliance has always failed me. True or false? Yes. If I continue to trust and rely upon myself, I'll continually be constantly in fear. And so the challenge, it's right there in my face every day. You know, back to step two, either or. You know, all interconnected once again. Either he is or he isn't. If he is, then I should trust and rely upon the infinite, not my finite self. And by asking God, now that I'm in touch with the fact that I'm fearful, ask him to remove it from me, then I can be directed as to what he would have me be. Back to that actor. Now I'm the actor. I'm still the actor, but now I'm not trying to run the show. I'm just taking direction from the director. What would he have me be? And now, this is no way of mastering fears. I'm still fearful. I was fearful that I was going to be late when Phil called me saying, "Where are you?" And I was still on the way here. You know, and I feel rushed running up the stairs to get here. I'm fearful, like, what the heck do they have me here speaking for? Don't they know I don't know anything? Why do they even ask me to do this? You see? But then you take a deep breath and say, I'm trusting and relying upon a supreme being. What would he have me be? Well, what he have me be is get up there and carry the message of recovery. Again, it's a spiritual toolkit. Same thing with the sex conduct. The sex conduct, we're not here to judge each other on our sex conduct. Our program is very explicit about that. We're not to be the arbiter, and I hope I pronounced that right. Some controversy around that once, right? Not to be the arbiter of anyone's conduct, right? I use that tool so that I can do what? Shape a sane, sound ideal for my future sex life. How do I go forward in my behavior? Will it pass the test? And I hate this test. Is it selfish or not? Daggone it. You see? And so what happens? Another spiritual tool that what? Keeps me from creating more harm. I'm still ultimately powerless because with my anger, what do I have to do? I have to ask God. I got to go to God. With the fear, I have to go to God again to remove it. With the sex conduct, help me grow toward this ideal. I'm not mastering anything, but I'm using the tool, applying it to my life in a way that what? Helps remove the blocks that keeps me in intimate relationship with the Supreme Being. Because as a wise man once told me, I don't have enough cash in my account to cover the check. I cannot afford to be angry. Because what does our program tell us? When blocked, what do? We shut ourselves off from the sunlight of the Spirit. And let me tell you, that might be the dubious luxury of normal men, but for people like us, in a nanosecond, I just need to be blocked for a nanosecond. Anything is possible. See, I can't afford to be angry. I was told, my sponsor told me, if you're angry, you're automatically wrong. What? But they know, because I can't afford to be angry. Now, does that mean I don't get angry? Of course not. But I apply the tool and I grow. And I do this exercise regularly. I do it, it's semantics. Oh, you're doing the 10th step because you're doing it during one day, or you're doing the 4th step because you're writing about the past. You know, to me, it's semantics. That's neither here nor there. I think it's there's sledgehammers and then there are hammers. They're still used to, as it's still a tool, right? So 4th step is a wonderful tool that our program's given us. It's allowed me to get in touch with the person in the inside, to remove the things within myself. And I say remove not as I'm the person doing the removing. We'll get to that in a second. To have those things within me removed that are blocking me. Blocking me from what? From the Supreme Being. Helping the root of my problem to move. What's that? My selfishness, my self-centeredness. There's a lot of freedom in recognizing that I'm the root of my problems, that they come from within. So that brings us to step 5, which is we admit to God, another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs. And, that's a fluid thing. I mean, there's a formal 5th step that we have that most of us have experienced. I saw a lot of hands go up at the beginning of the room. Those of us who have been through the process that have had that formal 5th step where we're in a situation where we're, illuminating every dark cranny of the past. I hate sentences like that, and getting that stuff out into the sunlight of the Spirit. But two spiritual things about the 5th step that I wanted that people talk a lot about. The book talks about this. Our program says there are two real important reasons why we need to do this. First is they say, if you don't, you're not going to overcome drinking, right? And they talk about those of us who thought we lost our egoism. We thought we were humbled. Right. And once again, I think I'm humble. I worked out the 4th step in my head. I know where I'm wrong. I see where I'm selfish. I see where I'm dishonest. I see this character defect. No need to share that with anyone. Well, I've got it all here. And where's the main problem with an alcoholic? In my mind. I need to share that. I need to bring light into it. I need to get some feedback on that. I can't just think my way through it. I have to have that actual experience of humbling myself to share something that maybe is a little uncomfortable for me to share. So there's that. And then there's another statement that people blow by a lot. It says, you have to be entirely honest with someone if you expect to live long or happily in this world. I don't know anyone that interested in living long and happily. I mean, is there anyone that interested that wouldn't want to, you know, sign up for that? And so, yeah, it's important to do it, yeah, because there's it's not that it's a mechanical process, but it's important because it's part of our spiritual well-being. It's, again, reinforcing the work we did in step four, the identification that we've come in touch with our character defects, to help remove that stuff so we can go forward in life. You sleep a heck of a lot better, tell you. I mean, there were lots of hands up here, but even now, after done multiple fifth steps, there's still like this weight comes right off you when you do that. And there's some great promises in our fifth step promises. One of them is, you may have had spiritual beliefs, but now you're beginning to have a spiritual experience. And that's the deal. You're actually experiencing something. I have a belief system and a faith system. What good is it if it's not executed by some action? And now through the action, I actually experience in the lifting of my spirit because of the burdens that I've been carrying internally are being removed. And now I'm actually experiencing that nearness with my Creator. So I find fifth step, it's important. And you can have the formal one, and then that's why we all have networks. That's why we have, the people that we're close with, that we share our intimate stuff with, because I think we constantly need to have that opportunity to reveal. And I'm looking at the clock, so I want to take that brings us to step six. So step six is willingness, right? I've identified a bunch of character defects. I've been in touch with some aspects of my behavior, and now the program asks me, am I willing to have a power greater than myself remove them? Am I willing? And I know, I'm comfortable with my character defects. Come on. Let's get back to the inventory part. The object to disclose unsaleable goods, to get rid of them promptly without regret. Who cleans out their refrigerator and says, there's that moldy Chinese food from last month. Let me hold on to it. I'm comfortable with that smell in my refrigerator. think of what you're actually saying when you make a comment like that. I'm comfortable with this behavior that causes me harm day in and day out and causes others harm. I'm comfortable with that. If you're comfortable with that, then what you're really saying is you're not convinced to your innermost being that you're powerless. You're not convinced that you need this connection to a power greater than yourself. So step six is just, am I willing to have him removed? And there's another question in there, kind of snuck in there. Geez, I wish I had the book open to quote it. But it goes something like this, is, will he or can he remove them all? And it's like a little subtle, like, wait a minute now. Yeah, do you even believe that the power greater than yourself can remove all of it? Or do you still believe somehow that he's not everything? There's a lot of challenge there. A lot of challenge to grow there. We'll get into the removal later by a power greater than ourselves. Everything that we talked about this last week, there is one who has all power. Everything else is commentary. I'm not working on my character defects. I've done some work. I've used a tool. I've identified some behaviors. I'm asking God to remove them. Step six, am I willing to have him remove them? And can he actually remove them? What's your choice to be? Thanks for letting me share.